Yeah, okay, let's begin. Says the Gemara Daf Chof Omed Aleph. So we were just finishing off the last story of the Gemara where the Gemara was demonstrating the Mesiris Nefesh for the purpose of Kiddush Hashem in the Doir of Abaya and Rav Papa. And that was the Mesiris Nefesh that brought about the Nisim. So he said that there was this woman who they thought, mistakenly, they thought that Rav Ada Bar Ahava saw a woman wearing a beged which he considered was non-sonua. He thought that she was a Bas Yisrael. It turns out that she was actually a Goya. He made her remove it. And it turns out afterwards that in fact he was mistaken because she was a non-Jew. And therefore they fined him, the Chazal, the Rabbonim, the Sanhedrin, fined him 400 zuz. And when he asked her what her name was, she responded, Mason. To which he said that Mason, is that the word Motayim, which is 200, and twice that exactly equals the number 400, which was the knas that he received. But if you look at Rashi, you'll see that there's another interpretation of this. So look at Rashi towards the end of the narrow lines. Mason, loshen, moson. Moson in Aramaic is like matai, 200s. Dalad meyois, base pa'omim, base meyois. Twice, 200, that's 400. Klaima Hashem goramli. It's i.e. the name, your name has brought this about. Now, loshen acher, this is the Rashi we did not see yesterday. Loshen acher, Rashi said there is an alternative interpretation, which is Mosun is Loshen Hamtana. Not a play on the words of 200, but rather a play on the words of patience. Hamtana is to wait, Lahamtin. I think we all know the very first Mishnah in Avos, where it says, Have a Masunim Badin. Masunim Badin. It's addressing the Dayanim in the Bezdin, and it says you should be Masunim. What does Masunim mean? It means you should be deliberate. Don't rush into judgment. But Masinus. Masinus means you should deliberate. So therefore, says Rashi, what he was commenting on the word was, Imhim Tanti, if only I would have waited and I wouldn't have rushed into judgment, I would have saved myself 400 zuz. So because of my haste, said Rav Ada Bar Ahava, that has cost me 400 zuz. So we have two interpretations of what it was that he saw in the name Maton. Either Maton meaning 200 times 2 is 400, or Maton from the word Masinus, deliberate, patient, not so hasty. And because of the lack of Masinos, that ultimately is what cost him 400 zuz. I'll tell you a little secret. When it was almost 5 years ago, when this offer came from Rama Gimel to join a shul called Darchi Yitzchok, so I went to speak to my Rebbe, Reb Shlomo Zalman Ullman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha in Bnei Brak, to seek his guidance and to seek his bracha. And he gave both, Baruch Hashem. And then I asked him, can you give me an Eitzah? I've never been a Rav before of a shul. And he said to me one thing, which I've never forgotten. He said to me in Yiddish, he said, Yedol Zach, everything b'masinus. That was his advice. Deliberate before you take any decision. If you want to be a successful Rav, don't make snap decisions. Don't make snap comments. Plan, deliberate in what you want to do first, and then you'll have Hatzlacha. And that was his legacy and his instruction to me. I'll call upon him. That's what we're being taught over here, that he was commenting on the word maton, patience, deliberate. Don't rush into making a rash decision, because by doing so, it cost him 400 zuz. Says the Gemara Vayta. Rav Gidol, one of the Gedolei Amoraim, Hoya Rogil, he was regularly or frequently to have a ka'ozil v'yosef. He would go and sit. We know, we've said this rule many times before, you have a tof in the middle of the word. In Aramaic, if you switch it to a shin, you'll get the Hebrew equivalent. So v'yosef becomes v'yoshev, and he sat. He used to frequently go and sit ashare de tvila, by the entrance to the mikveh where the noshim were going to tovel. Omar, he said that ki solkon b'nois Yisrael. What is solkon? Solkon literally means to go up. When the b'nois Yisrael, who are toveling in the mikveh, when they come up out of the mikveh, va'asyon mitvilo, and they come from their tvila. By the way, you have to remember that the mikvois in the times of Chazal were obviously nothing like the mikvois that we have nowadays. It was literally a pit in the ground, as it were. Everything clear? Nachum, everything right?
Yeah, you left something out. You left the you've switched to Rav Yochanan from Rav Gidl.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, we'll go back. You're right. I jumped a couple of lines. I apologize again. Rav Gidl have a rogil, have a ka'ozil, the Yosef Ashari the Tvila. He used to frequently sit at the gate to the mikvah, Omalahu, and he used to say to them, who's to them, to these noshim who were tabling in the mikvah. He used to say, Hochi tevilu v'hochi tevilu. This is the way you should tovel, and this is the way you should tovel. In other words, he was paskening the halachas of tevila. He used to sit there, paskening shailas, this is the way the tevila should be done. Says the Gemara, Omri lei rabbonon. So the rabbonon said to Rav Gidl, Loi komistofi. What does mistofi mean? Mistofi means, are you not afraid or scared? Are you not scared, Mar, the master, mi yetzer hara? Are you not afraid of the yetzer hara? Here you are, sitting outside of the mikvah. And you are paskening shailas for these noshim who are about to go to Tovel. Are you not afraid of the Yetzer Hara with regard to Histaklus Benoshim? Omalahu, now we have to learn this Gemara extremely carefully and very advisedly. Omalahu, so he responded to them, Damien, Damien like from the word Domi, Damien, they are similar or appear, Ba'apoi, to my face, ki just like cocky chivri white geese. Rashi says, ki cocky chivri avozim levonim white geese. Now what's he saying over here? What's he saying over here? The question was being asked of Rav Gidl, how is it that you allow yourself to sit at the Sharei Tvila, talking, paskening shailas for these noshim who are about to be tovel? Are you not worried about the Yetzer Hara that could inevitably get the better of you? And he answered, no fear, because these noshim, as far as I'm concerned, the way I see them, it's like white geese. Now, what did he mean, white geese? This was clearly a moshel. What he meant was that I don't even see, as it were, noshim in front of me. Right? Imagine you're a doctor, as we have here. So you're a doctor. If somebody's not a doctor, you would think this must be the most gory profession. But the truth of the matter is, if this is your profession, then you don't see what the layman sees. You see a specimen. You don't necessarily see a goof. Imagine somebody who works in a bank and all day long he's counting money. After a while, he doesn't see money. It's not money anymore. It's pieces of paper which denote a certain value which he's got to make sure that he counts properly, but he doesn't see money. So Rav Gidl was saying about himself, and that's why we have to learn this so extremely carefully, that he was on a level such that he wasn't actually seeing Noshe.
Uh-oh. Going over this, I just mentioned to the others that our mikvahs today are set up so that there's privacy, that nobody knows when a woman is tohu. Okay?
Right.
Here, this man seeing the women coming and going, it's a violation of their privacy. It's a tznius problem.
Right. And that really was the Gemara's question, 100%. That precisely was the Gemara's question. Any mikveh one, in theory, it's not a secret where it is, but you're right, it's designed in a way where it's not visible, at least to the public.
My wife was a mikveh lady back in Los Angeles years ago, and sometimes she had to do it on Shabbos evening, Friday night, and I would come back from the yeshiva after Marav to meet her, to walk her home, but I had to wait around the corner from the mikveh. I couldn't wait outside because that way I would see the women coming and going.
Sure. And that's the chiddush of this Gemara. And that's what I was just in the middle of saying. I don't know, it seemed to have suddenly disappeared. By the way, can you see everybody's video on the screen? I can only see you, everybody, although I can't see anybody else.
That's interesting. I can see everybody.
Okay.
And they're all moving. They're all live.
Okay, because I can see you, but your picture's not moving. But
my picture's not moving. I'm moving back and forth. Can you see me moving?
No. Your picture is frozen. Okay, we'll continue. I don't know, I seem to have technical problems. But either way, what I was saying was that we have to learn this Gemara very, very carefully, because clearly it's only somebody on the level of Rav Gidl who was able to say that he doesn't, as it were, see an Isha in front of him. So therefore, he took the liberty, as it were, to sit there and paskin their shailas. But anybody on a lesser level than Rav Gidl certainly would not be able or allowed to say such a thing. And therefore, clearly, as you mentioned, Rabbi Eliyahu David would have to steer clear because of tznius reasons.
Yeah, but see, that's from his direction. From the woman's direction, she would be upset that he's sitting there.
Yep. Yeah, although perhaps not if it was on the statue of Rav Gidl.
Maybe not.
Okay, says the Gemara, a similar story. That was Rav Gidl. Rav Yochanan,